Hi, I'm Mary McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is the charismatic young guitarist, Russell Malone. He's one of the most versatile, lyrical, and eloquent players, with a penchant for melody laced with sheer joy and passion.
I'll take that.
Will you?
Yes.
And all the songs that you play have such heart and real great feeling.
Thank you.
I just was listening to your new record, which is Strings and Beautiful Melodies. And what do you like when you're picking a ballad? I mean, do you go for certain kind of tunes? Do you listen to the lyrics or what?
Well, I listen to the complete, to the whole song. A good melody, a strong melody, appeals to me. Interesting harmonies, appeals to my sensibility as a jazz musician. And yes, I do listen to lyrics too. I think all of the great players that I admire and appreciate, they listen to lyrics. It's funny, Ray Brown told me a story one time about when he was playing with Oscar Peterson. Ben Webster came to hear them play, and they played well enough, but Ben Webster walked up to them after the set and asked them if they knew the lyrics to the song, and neither one of the guys in the band knew the lyric. So Ben said, well, you really should learn the lyric to this song, to these songs. It'll help you play it better. So that has really helped me as far as interpreting songs when I play them, knowing the lyrics.
Yeah, well, you and I agree then, because I think the way you play a tune sometimes has a lot to do with what's in the lyric.
Well, I feel the same way. And one thing that has really helped me, I think one mistake that a lot of musicians make, particularly young players, is when they learn songs, especially ballads, a lot of them will make the mistake of learning it from an instrumentalist interpretation of it. But for me, the way to go is to listen to singers.
Well, true, because you're going to hear more of the actual song. And sometimes if you listen to an instrumentalist, you might hear his version of the song, which might not be anywhere near the original.
That's exactly right.
So, well, listen, we're talking on a very high level here, but I would love to hear you play something. And you've brought this very fine young bass player that works with you, Richie Goods. So I'm dying to hear something.
Well, we're going to play a song written by Johnny Mercer. Something's Gotta Give.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Somewhere. You're from Albany, Georgia?
That's right.
You don't have that sound in your voice, though.
You mean the twang?
Yes.
It comes out, especially when I'm around someone who's from down that way or when I'm around my family.
But
it comes out.
It's funny because I would never have thought you were from there, but I guess what I was reading told this little story about you were quite young at the time, I guess, and you went to sit in with Jimmy Smith?
Yeah, I was about 21.
And you really thought you were something pretty good.
He embarrassed me pretty good that night. We were down at, he was playing at a place in Atlanta called Pasco's La Carousel.
Yeah.
So I'd been listening to Jimmy all my life, you know, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And, of course, he's such, you know, such a great artist.
Yes, he is.
So I went down to the club where he was playing, and sure enough, he was just magnificent. So after the first set, he's standing over at the bar talking to some friends of his. And one of the local musicians who had known Jimmy from years back introduced me to him. And Jimmy asked me if I had my guitar. I said, sure, I have my guitar in the car. He said, well, go get your guitar. I'd like to have you sit in the next set so we can, you know, I want to hear what you're doing. So here I am, so excited, getting ready to sit in with the great Jimmy Smith, and all of my my buddies were with me, and they were excited for me. So I went up on stage and sat in with him. He played the first tune, which was a blues. And I played all of my crowd-pleasing nonsense. First of all, I made the foolish mistake of thinking that just because I'd heard the records and listened to the records and learned all the songs, I thought that I knew him. I thought that that was what it was going to be about. But so I went up there and played all of this crowd-pleasing nonsense that got over good with the crowd and feeling real good about my abilities. So he kicked off the next tune, which was a ballad, Laura, which is another Johnny Mercer tune. And that's one of those tunes that you just can't hear your way through because it's harmonically involved. So he played the tune and motioned for me to solo. And I'm like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. So the more I struggled, the more difficult he made it for me. He started putting in all of these weird harmonic substitutions. And
he would do that.
Yes, he did. He put in all of these weird harmonic substitutions, and he was doing these tricks with the time and the rhythm, and I was really embarrassed. So anyway, after he finished giving me this lesson, I sat down, and he got on the mic and said, in that gravelly voice of his, "We always like to make sure that youngsters learn something when they sit in with us. Now, did you learn something yet, man?" I said, yeah. So anyway...
But he hired you anyway, didn't he?
He hired me a few months after that. But now the rest of the story is he went over to the bar, and he's talking with some friends of mine, and I'm, like, really embarrassed because I had my girlfriend with me, and all my friends were there, and they were like, yeah, you really made a fool of yourself.
Oh,
they were,
boy.
They were, like, really relentless. So I went over to the bar, and I was going to thank him for the opportunity to sit in with him. And before I could get the sentence out of my mouth, he got in my face and poked his finger in my chest. He said, "Let me tell you something. All those guys that you're trying to play like," he just ran off this long list of guitar players. George Benson, Kenny Burrell, Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, Thornhill Schwartz, Eddie McFadden, this long list of players. He said, "All those guys that you're trying to play like, I knew them and I also taught them, so don't ever get on my bandstand with that attitude again." So I was like, you know, really, I was like crushed. But I didn't leave. I stayed around for the whole night. And then after that, I went up to his room. And we hung out till like 6:30 the next morning.
Oh, he relented then. He must have liked you
regardless. I guess so. Yeah.
He just had been really underneath. He must have liked you a lot.
I guess he saw some potential. So anyway, you know, we stayed up in his room and we talked. And I had my guitar and I played for him, playing a tune like Body and Soul or just any tune. And he stopped me in the middle of the tune and then he'd make suggestions. And then he talked mostly about his life, you know.
And he can talk.
And Jimmy's great when he's away from an audience.
Yes, true.
You know, when he's got a lot of people around, he goes into this act.
Yeah.
But when it was just he and I one-on-one, it was beautiful. He talked about Art Tatum. He talked about Wes Montgomery. He talked about Eddie Lockjaw Davis, Bud Powell, John Coltrane. And he would get real emotional when he would talk about these people.
Oh, that was really a good thing for you then, wasn't it?
It was great. Are you kidding? Yeah.
That really pretty much set you up.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, I've been so fortunate in that I've had had the opportunity to hang out with guys, a lot of the older players, and learn from them.
That's why you're so well-rounded and you've got so many great aspects of the guitar going. You know, you've great technique and sound and chops. It's terrific.
Thank you. Freddie Cole was another one, too, that I got a chance to hang out with. He's the one who got me into learning tunes, and he used to always get on me about my phrasing and listening to singers. So I have to give him his props, too.
Well, all this good talk is making me want to hear you play another tune. And maybe this time I can sneak in and play a chorus.
You're more than welcome to sneak in.
Okay, Yesterday's, right?
Yeah, Jerome Kern.
Okay. Thank you. Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.